This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based health care. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
Hey, guys. It's Dr. TJ here, and with me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
And today, we have got, it's an interesting show. This is some stuff that we end up talking to our patients about quite a lot, more than I would have expected when I got into this whole field of work. But it has to do with like the actual science of nutrition and the nutrition science and why there is such discrepancy in like what we know actually helps a person become like super healthy versus what all the, you know, media and what people jump on and talk about and all these different things and like what the recommendations are. It's just, it's two, not really necessarily polar opposites, but there's definitely some discrepancies.
No, I mean, we've talked in prior shows about how we're all confused about what to eat. So many people come in and they're not sure what is healthy and what isn't.
Right, because you got people saying, well, eggs are healthy, eggs are bad, eggs are healthy, you know, butter is bad, butter is good. And it's all of that stuff's been on the cover of Time magazine, right?
Right.
All been there.
No, I mean, and the bottom line is we're confused because we're hearing conflicting scientific reports. The government funds bad food and gives us bad advice a lot of times. And
yep.
The food industry benefits from keeping us confused.
Right. And so that's the... And the confusion is the biggest problem. You know, if I'm out there saying, well, no, that's not accurate, and then everybody's like, well, what makes you an expert? How do you know? Well, experience, common sense, the hundreds of hours of physiology and nutrition that I have. Studied, you know, the PhD that I earned. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that out there.
But if it was common sense, a lot of people would be able to look at it and say, this makes sense. And unless you really go through the scientific research, it's difficult to know what makes sense and what doesn't. And I think a lot of people, it's depressing because they're left feeling like, what's the point? I mean, you give up because no one can agree on anything. You're hearing such conflicting reports. It's like, why am I even trying?
True. And I was just talking with a friend of mine who she is in, I won't say where, she is in at a very prominent college in Tennessee in a nursing program. And she has some functional medicine background and understanding and knows, you know, that nutrition matters. And she's sitting in a nutrition course, and they're basically saying, you don't need to take any supplements. That's ridiculous. You get all of your nutrients from food. And I'm sitting here saying, yeah, that's exactly what the line is. That's what all colleges spout. And it's absolutely false.
Right.
It's 100% false. There's no possible way. Can you get 100% of your recommended daily allowance of vitamin C from food? Yes, you can. Eat an orange. How many of you ate an orange yesterday? And how many of you ate an orange every single day of your life? None of you. And do you actually know that the Linus Pauling Institute at Oregon State University actually says that you need about 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C if you want optimal health? There's a difference between getting a recommended daily allowance of something and actually having enough in your system to be optimally healthy.
Well, and there's also a difference between consuming foods that have like the vitamin C and actually being able to absorb it and assimilate it throughout your body, which is why
right.
we do so many IVs in our office
right.
to get the nutrition where you actually need it.
That's right. You don't get credit for what goes in your mouth. You only get credit for what you absorb. And most people don't absorb hardly anything.
Right. Because, I mean, and I think a lot of people know this, so many of us have... messed up guts where we're not able to actually get the nutrients out of the food. So even if you are eating a great diet, very little of that could be actually absorbed.
That's true. But I look at it, if the food industry and the nutrition that's taught in major universities and stuff is saying that you can get all of your nutrition from food, then how come we have so dang many people with chronic disease? How come we have so many people that are overweight? And then they'll look at you and say, well, they're eating junk food. Well, it's the same industry funding the study saying you can get it from food, and then they're also giving you all this crappy food.
Exactly.
So
no, exactly.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Because that's what benefits them. And you have
right.
to really follow the money here. And I think it's important to note that for us, focusing on what you need to eat does us absolutely no good, right? I mean, there's no benefit to us to be telling you to eat healthy because, you know, the goal in that would be that less and less people would need to see us.
Right.
That's great.
Right.
I mean, really, we get, you know, I mean, there's no reason for us to be out here telling you this information if it wasn't true.
Yeah.
And so really, always, it's always important to follow the money and say where, you know, who's benefiting from this. And if they are benefiting, can I trust what they're telling me?
Right. And the thing is, I mean, you listen to the media. Everyone listens to the media, whatever news outlet you're listening to. And, you know, when they start reporting on like nutrition and things like that, they're all the same. They're all basically wrong. I mean, it's just bad information. And the sad thing is they're quoting, a lot of times they'll quote research articles and stuff like that. Well, I mean, the New England Journal of Medicine, the former guy that was in charge of that basically said, yeah, half of everything that's published is wrong. Okay, well, that goes for everything. I mean, we can't just, you know, pick and choose this stuff, right?
Right. I mean, but the good news on this is that with all of the conflicting reports, you know, out there, and I get that it's all, you know, confusing to a lot of people, the basic guidelines on how to eat to promote health, you know, weight loss, longevity, is actually pretty simple.
Yeah, it's super simple. And so with this show, what we're trying to do is we're trying to empower you and help you so you can, you know, help reverse chronic disease if you have it. It is possible. It can be done, right? There's just because you have type 2 diabetes, as long as you haven't had it for 45 years and your blood sugar's averaging about 4,000, you can undo a lot of the negative effects of this and decrease a lot of problems and risk of problems that you're going to have long term with any chronic disease. Pick a chronic disease. The whole system is set up to make you think that you caught the diabetes or you caught the kidney disease or you caught the whatever. And that's not true. We get sick because we're missing things. We're missing key nutrients. And all we've got to do is put those things back. When you put those things back, the body knows how to heal itself. That's why that's how it operates. Just like you cut yourself, it knows how to heal the cut. Your body knows how to heal the condition as well. I mean, so our job here is to empower you to where you can do this stuff for yourself. And so while we're talking about nutrition, I mean, the hardest part about the science behind nutrition is that there's not a lot of research out there because it's impossible to do. If you're going to do like really big nutrition studies, you're going to need thousands of people. You've got to randomize them. And then you have to put them in a controlled environment. You have to provide all the food for them that they're going to eat. And then you have to follow them for like 30 years. Nobody's going to sign up for that. Nobody's going to do it, right? So what we're left with is doing some sort of much smaller, much shorter study, so it doesn't last as long, 4, 5, 6 weeks, sometimes 8 weeks is all that we can get out of these things. Or we look at big populations, like we try to extrapolate and make claims or make comments based off of, you know, the entire population. And when you do that, you can't prove cause and effect.
Right.
It just doesn't work. I mean, my dissertation was on B12 for my PhD. I had like 20 people in this thing. And I was like, literally, I ran the study for another week and a half. I would have been able to show statistical significance with one or with 20 people, right? It was huge, the change that I did. And all I did was, it was how I administered B12. And you can go and download the thing if you want to go read it yourself. But I was very specific with what I was looking at. But there's no way that I could look at the cause and effect. I was looking at whether or not B12 could be increased, and we did. We increased it a lot. And the thing is, you know, I can't tell you about the effects that B12 has on, you know, someone taking it long term from my study. And so what we get is we get these authors that'll make these just ridiculous extrapolations and throw out some sort of, you know, conclusion or final statement that really had nothing to do with the study. So like Aaron said earlier, you just got to pay attention to, you know, where the study's coming from and pay attention to who's paying for it. I mean, it's just...
Or just listen to our show, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's true.
Just try to make this a lot simpler.
Yeah, we're just trying to make it simpler. So, I mean, another thing they did, so they used to do studies, or they did some studies on meat eaters versus vegetarians or vegans. I'm not sure if it was vegetarian or vegan, but either way. So when the studies were being done, basically we were saying, okay, well, the prevailing thoughts were that meat was bad for you. And so what they did with this study, when you looked at that, when you break this study down and looked at the actual population groups, the people who didn't eat meat were individuals that exercised, they didn't smoke, they ate a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, they stayed away from sugar and processed foods, and they had healthy habits, the things that we're trying to promote with our clinic and with this show. And then they compared those guys to the meat-eating group. And the meat-eating group, they cared a whole lot less about their health. They ate on average 800 calories more per day. They weighed more. They ate less fruits and vegetables. They ate more processed foods. They didn't exercise.
They smoked.
So you're taking a bunch of non-exercising smokers eating a heck of a lot more calories per day, and it's no wonder that the non-meat eaters in this study came out, the vegetarian diet came out to be much healthier. It wasn't the diet, it was the lifestyle. If you just took food out of it and said, we've got smokers, non-exercisers versus exercisers, non-smokers, and I mean, right there tells you, okay, which group's going to be healthier? A five-year-old could tell you that.
Right, and that's why it's really important to look at what actually is the difference between the two groups, because then they're making correlations, in this case, correlating health to meat consumption,
right,
when really it has no correlation
at
all.
It's health to lifestyle.
Right.
It's lifestyle. And so anyway, all right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our discussion with the problem with nutrition science. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, everyone. So today on the show, we've been talking about the problems with nutrition science. And before the break, I was kind of going off on a rant about, you know, how bad the actual science is and how, you know, the research is set up for failure with nutrition, just based on populations and how some of these studies have split the groups up. So if you missed it, go back and check out that first segment. I don't want to beat on that dead horse, because it just frustrates me every time we really start talking about it. But I do want to move on and start talking about things like, what should you eat?
Right. We want to actually empower you with real information,
right,
you know, and good information about what you need to eat.
And just help you. I mean, there are ways, you know, every single person can't, I mean, bottom line when we get done with this is there's not any one particular diet that's better for one person than the other until you get tested for your own food sensitivities and figure out what foods you should or shouldn't be eating. That's just the bottom line. Like,
right,
we're going to
have certain conditions also. And if you come into the clinic, if you have certain conditions, there are going to be diets that might not work for you or that might,
right,
be better for you.
And certain genetics.
Right. I mean, so we do, you know, I mean, of course, if you become a patient in our clinic, then we'll be able to give you much more, you know, specific advice. But just some, yeah, general guidelines. There's not like a lot of these diets. I mean, of course, if you're restricting calories way too much, I mean, there are certain things that we know aren't going to work, aren't going to work long term anyway.
Right. But the whole objective here is to, like, we're just going to talk about some general basics that can help you just bottom line lose weight. It can help you feel better. I mean, have more energy. All of these things are extremely important. If we have those things, we are likely preventing things like chronic diseases like type 2 diabetes or heart disease or dementia. Autoimmune disease, that's another big one. Golly, there's so many people that have autoimmune disease. It's just crazy, right? So,
and way more that have it and don't know they have it.
Yeah, they have no idea that they have it. And I mean, there's
a lot of people are surprised when they come in and they find out that, oh, it's actually autoimmune condition.
They're surprised at two things, that it's autoimmune disease or condition or it's heart disease. And I can't tell you the number of people that walk in like, holy cow, I had no idea I had this going on. I'm like, yeah, it's very prevalent.
Well, I thought my doctor tested me for whatever could be wrong.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's a complete joke.
And they were told they were fine.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're fine. Did the doctor tell you were fine? Well, somebody from the office called. Yeah, they didn't know how to read the labs.
Or they didn't run the right labs.
Or yeah, exactly. The thing is, they didn't run enough. They didn't look in depth enough. I mean, you know,
although we have seen tons of labs, if you're being honest, where there was a problem and they just didn't know
how to treat it. They just ignored it.
Right.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's like trying to buy a house just by looking at it from the outside, from the street.
Right.
Well, can you see if the outside looks okay? Well, yeah, you can see if it looks okay, but is the wood rotted? Are the pipes burst? Is there anything on the inside?
Right.
Is there any actual flooring in the whole house?
Yeah, but then it's also like you're looking at the house and there's like mold on one side or something and you're just like,
right.
Ah, that's fine. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's on the north side and the sun doesn't shine there anyway.
And then you think, well, but maybe you should look a little further if you see something that's concerning. And health is the same way.
Right. That's exactly right. So, I mean, there's a lot of things, and we talk about this a lot when we have patients that come in that have cancer, and I'm going to use cancer in particular because there's a lot of information on diet with people that have cancer out there. And so some people are of the mindset that you have to eat a ketogenic diet if you have cancer, and other people have the mindset of you can do Gerson. So ketogenic is lots of fat, a small amount of protein, and almost zero carbs. The Gerson therapy is basically you're straight up vegan and you're eating lots of vegetable and fruit juicing, and you basically spend your day juicing and then consuming these juices. Literally opposite ends of the spectrum from diet, and both work, right? So to say one is better than the other, you can't do that. You have to figure out what works for
back up both of those.
Right, and you got to figure out what works for that person,
right?
And the same thing goes here. So there's things like paleo out there. There's things like that's a lot of meat, or Atkins diet, a lot of meat and fat. And then there's vegan, where you don't eat meat and there's very little fat. But it doesn't mean that you can't take little bits from all of this stuff and have a relatively healthy diet if you're not going to get your own food sensitivities tested, right? So you don't have to go around. We don't go around saying that one is right, one is wrong. We just say, okay, well, let's take little bits and pieces from this. So there's nothing wrong with eating lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. There's nothing wrong with eating some high-quality meats, some organic foods, right? That's how we want to eat. And so the controversy is, did man make it, or was a human? Did a human, or did it come from like the earth? You know, did God make it, basically? And so I ask people all the time, well, what about Twinkies? Are they food? Some people are like, well, I don't. Yes, you can eat it. Well, I mean, you can eat a plastic case too, but it doesn't mean that it's food.
I think
right?
A lot of people are onto Twinkies at this point, though. Like, didn't they say like you can put a Twinkie in like I think I did this when I was in grade school. We put a Twinkie in like a time capsule to open like 20 years later, and because it was supposed to still be good. If your food is good for that long,
yeah, we've got a problem.
You've got an issue.
Canned food isn't good that
right.
long. It's just, I mean, it's just not. And so the whole thing is the products, if you ever read the label of a Twinkie, my God. I mean, we have high fructose corn syrup. There's sodium acid pyrophosphate, monocalcium phosphate, sodium caseinate, cornstarch, cellulose gum, sodium stearyl lactylate. I mean, what in the world is this stuff? It's just a bunch of chemicals, right? And they enrich the thing with B vitamins, right? They throw some B vitamins on there just to make it healthy, right? That's what they're trying to do. I mean, Aaron's laughing, but that's what they're trying. It's just ridiculous.
I don't think anyone thinks Twinkies are healthy.
Why are we wasting B vitamins, even in these terrible forms like thiamine mononitrate? That's a horrible form of thiamine. Why are we wasting that even on a Twinkie? Why bother? It makes zero sense. It's just a chemical storm. It's just, it's got food dyes in it, for crying out loud. But if we flip this and say, okay, well, what's a carrot? What's in a carrot? It's just carrot, right? There's no label that has to go on a carrot. You can just buy a carrot, just like an avocado or a tomato or a head of lettuce. It's just that. There isn't a food label that says all 50 ingredients that are in the thing.
Right. And well, we talked about that before, the whole, you know, because there was such a push for a while, like in the 90s and, you know, maybe early 2000s, about like you have to read labels. And we just laugh because we're just like, it's an issue if you're constantly reading labels. Why do all of your foods have labels?
Right.
They right. shouldn't have labels. You should just be eating food and you just know what it is because it's in its pure form.
Right. And it's, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the question that I throw out too to some people that are, you know, that sometimes people are very resistant to the idea that maybe they're eating poorly. I just ask them, would you give this to your dog? You drink 2 liter of Coke a day or whatever, Mountain Dew a day, and you eat a bowl of pasta, would you give your dog Coke and pasta for a meal? And they always look at me like, well, no, why would I do that? My dog can't eat that. Well, if your dog can't eat it, the likelihood is you shouldn't be eating it. It's just ridiculous. I mean, people feed their dogs, their pets, way better than they eat themselves. It's true.
Yeah, well, they eat food that tastes better, though, than their pets, probably. It's just not as good for them.
Fair enough.
Well, I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, we get this a lot when people go through food sensitivity testing. They will say, well, I mean, I'm looking through the labels on all the foods that I eat, and I can't, there's none of them I can eat anymore because they all have something that now I'm apparently sensitive to. And we're like, okay, well, fix yourself a chicken breast and a sweet potato.
Right.
And you're done.
Right.
That's a problem solved. I mean, we've honestly had people that say, you come up with a meal plan that, you know, works for this.
I'll take 13 seconds. Yeah. I'll write them up one full day and I say, here you go. Eat like this.
Yeah.
And they literally stare at me like I have three heads.
Yeah. Your food does not have to come out of a package.
And it doesn't have to be complicated.
And like, it doesn't have to come through a drive-thru.
People will come to us and be like, well, you did my foods. Like, I don't know what to eat. And literally explain to them just what Aaron said. Grill a chicken breast, have a vegetable or two that you can consume, season it with salt and a little olive oil, and you're good.
Or and, other spices, and as long as you're not allergic to them.
I'm like, are these people literally at home making these 50-ingredient complex recipes that they couldn't substitute? It baffles me. I just cannot understand it.
No, but they're getting it out of boxes, typically. That's the issue, as they're looking at the labels and they're saying, well, this is in, you know, on the labels on these foods that I make. No, I don't think that the majority of people are gourmet chefs when they're at home. We know that. That's why the fast food industry is booming. I mean, and restaurants in general. I mean, how many times have we driven through town, you know, and seen all of these restaurants that are like packed
on a Tuesday night?
Yeah,
just
we're just like, who
packed.
Goes out to eat on a Tuesday night? Like, I don't know. I mean, that's just, I don't know. That is
the same
we
thing.
Eat at home a lot.
The same thing can be said for us on a Saturday night.
Not always.
Who goes out to eat on a Saturday night? That's crazy.
We do go out to eat, but we're very particular about, because to me, it's not a treat if I'm going to feel horrible the next day.
Right. That's very true. All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about food quality and why the quality of our food matters even more than the quantity of our food. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today we are talking about the problem with nutrition science. And I'll be honest, we've got off on a couple of rants, but it's okay because it all matters with, or it all pertains to nutrition. And before the break, I said when we come back, we were going to talk about quality and why the food, why quality of food matters just as much, if not more, than the quantity of the food that we consume. And a lot of that has to go back, it goes back to the idea that we have to count calories. That's, we don't have to count calories. If you're eating healthy food, you don't even have to pay any attention to calories at all, right? In the in research labs, calories are all the same. It doesn't matter if that calorie comes from sugar or if it comes from a, you know, green pepper. A calorie is a calorie is a calorie. But the problem is they're not the same, right? The food industry says, oh, no, it's okay as long as it's in moderation. Well, let's talk about moderation for a second. Moderation is absolutely impossible for most human beings on the planet to achieve, right? So you can drink alcohol in moderation. Well, in fact, actually, the latest research says that no amount of alcohol is actually healthy for your human body, no matter how much. Doesn't matter. It's not healthy for a person, right? And people say, well, I have my coffee in moderation. I only have one cup a day. But you have it every single day of your life, right? That's not moderation. Moderation is having something maybe 30 to 50 times, 30 to 50 of your meals, right? How many meals do we have in a week? 21, right? So it takes us 5 weeks to get 100 meals. And you only have, in moderation, would be having it 30 to 50 of those 100 meals. So half the days or less, right? And that's even too much, especially if we start talking about really crappy foods like, you know, added sugars and you know, sodas and things like that. We're not supposed to consume this stuff in moderation. We're not supposed to consume it at all. It's a, it's all it is just chemicals, right? These things are not good for us. And so the sad thing is that's the information that we're force fed, right? Oh, it doesn't matter, just count your calories. If you decrease your calories, you'll lose weight. No, you won't. That's absolutely not true, right? Because the likelihood is that your gut's out of balance, and so you don't have the bacteria in your gut the way that you're supposed to. So your body will actually try to gain weight if you start conserving calories, because your body seems to think that you're starving itself. And so then you start to conserve everything that you consume and you start to gain weight. So everyone out there listening, if that's you, if no matter what you do, you can't lose weight or you gain weight, you have a problem. Call us. We can help, right? This is, it's just a complete misunderstanding and a misrepresentation by the powers that be that you can actually, that you, that it's all on you, that you are the person. It may not be you.
Right. And that's why I think so many people, when they come in and they, you know, whether it's initially for weight loss or not, come in and they're so surprised, you know, if they're in this cycle that losing weight is so much easier than what they thought.
Right.
Because they've been struggling for so long and they keep doing what they think they're supposed to be doing and they're not losing weight or they're gaining weight.
Right.
And we come in and just say, hey, why didn't we just fix the problem, then your body will act normal?
We just talked to a lady the other day in the office. Bless her heart, she was fairly sick when she came to us. She just wasn't feeling good. Lot, you know, typical symptoms: tired, can't sleep, you know, exhausted all the time, and you know, I can't lose weight. We just started making her healthier, helping her out, giving her some key nutrients. We were working on other things. We weren't even working on the fact that she was trying to, that she wanted to lose weight, and 50 pounds fell off just in the blink of an eye. 3 weeks. I mean, she just like started dropping weight and she's noticing it. 6 weeks, she's like, I'm still losing weight. 12 weeks, she's still losing weight. Here we are 4.5 months in, something like that. She's lost 50 pounds. And we haven't even tried to help her lose weight. We just tried to help her become healthier.
And that happens all the time.
And we've said it on this show again. An overweight or obese person cannot be healthy, and a healthy person cannot be overweight or obese. It just doesn't work like that. If your body is in balance, you will not be overweight,
right?
Period.
Right, and we don't say this to make you feel bad about yourself if you're carrying more pounds than what you want to. We're just, it's fact.
It's just fact.
So your
hormones may be out of balance. It's super simple to test them and figure it out and balance them back out.
Right.
It's not rocket surgery. It's super simple. Yeah, I combined rocket science and brain surgery. Yes, I did, to rocket surgery. You out try to operate on a rocket? No. You got to be really smart for that. I'm not that cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the thing, you know. The quality, and so back to quantity and quality, the quality, it matters so much more than how much we eat. Because if we eat more nutrient-dense foods with higher amounts of nutrition in them, with better quality fats, we will actually eat less calories, right? That's just what's going to happen. There are so many things. For example, you could go out to, you know, your local fast food joint and get a burger and fries and, you know, wash it down with some sort of soda, soft drink type thing, and you're getting protein, fats, and carbohydrates. Or you could come home, eat a nice lean steak, have some broccoli or maybe some sweet potatoes, and have, put some olive oil on it and have yourself a nice hot tea, and you consumed fats, proteins, and carbs, but they're nowhere close to the same, right? They're completely different things. I mean, if you're just living on junk, right, it's going to send a different information to your body as to what you should be. Right, the food that we eat tells our genetic makeup and our genes what to do. So if we're eating a bunch of crap, what do you think that's telling our body? It's telling our genes. It's telling our genes that we're not very healthy and we're going to have to react in not so healthy ways. Whereas if we consume really good quality stuff, we're giving different information to our body. Right? It's like no different than breathing really toxic, dirty air harms our lungs, but if we breathe clean air, it doesn't harm our lungs. Same principle. Eat really crappy food, tells your body, tells your genetic makeup, hey, we're going to be really crappy and we're going to be sick. It's not hard, right? It's a very simple game, right? You don't have to have a PhD in nutrition or nutrition science to figure this out, right? Your average five-year-old can tell you this, right? Donuts are man-made. They're not made and found in nature. I mean, I haven't gone out to a donut tree and found donuts, right? Now, do I wish that donuts grew on trees and were healthy for us, as delicious as they can be sometimes? Yes. Do I eat donut? I can't tell you the last time I actually ate a donut.
I wanted a donut, though.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
I haven't eaten. There have been times when I've driven by Krispy Kreme and I'm like, but it's not worth it. I mean, when you figure out what it does to your body, it's not worth it. It really isn't. And for those of you who are listening and you're like, no, it's worth it, you will get to a point if you start eating healthier where it isn't worth it. I mean, it's just, that's a completely, it's like a physiological change in your body that you no longer, your body no longer wants to tolerate that stuff.
No, you don't crave it. You don't want it. I mean, I could drive by Krispy Kreme all day, every day, and it doesn't even faze me.
I know, because there have been numerous times where I'm like, how bad do you want one? And you're like, not really. And
yeah.
I'm like, what's wrong with you? I think that was when I was pregnant.
It was definitely when she was pregnant, ladies and gentlemen. It's like, I want a Krispy Kreme. We didn't give in.
No.
It's just not worth it. And that's the thing. And nutrition science will tell you, oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead, have a Krispy Kreme. Right?
Yeah, just cut back on your next meal.
Yeah, cut back on your next meal. Only have one dozen, right? Because they sell these things. I mean, if you buy them individually, they're $8. If you buy a dozen, it's $3 or whatever. I mean, it's just ridiculous how cheap it is if you buy a dozen of these things. And that's another problem with the food industry is, like, it's like $15 to go to a restaurant and buy a salad, but you can go to McDonald's and eat crap for a dollar with a dollar menu. Right? And it doesn't take a genius to figure this stuff out, right? All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about growing and raising food and why that matters, how your food is grown and or raised. You're listening to Wellness 101. Got my spine, I've got my orange crush. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in, you have missed an amazing show. We've been on rants and raves and just throwing a regular fit. So if that doesn't entice you to go back and listen to the rest of the show on iTunes or SoundCloud, however you want to listen to it, I don't know what will, to be honest with you. Erin's laughing at me because she's like, you're tooting your own horn again. Well, I am. It was a good show. We're talking today about nutrition science and basically why you can't necessarily believe all the garbage that they try to force down your throat about what's healthy, what's not healthy, because the information is just wrong. There's just so much wrong information. And before the break, we were talking about like the quality of food and why that matters. And, you know, just to kind of close that out, we want to eat stuff that doesn't necessarily have a label on it. When it has labels, you're talking about things that have lots of chemicals in them. And, I mean, things like polysorbate 60, polysorbate 80. Pick a polysorbate. You know, yellow dyes, red dyes, blue lake, whatever. Lake is just a term, you know, when you look at a food dye and it says something or other lake, whatever number, lake is just kind of basically saying that's aluminum, is really what it's doing. And then a lot of people don't realize that. That's what we're talking about. I mean, we don't even have any idea what the toxicity of these additives, what the level is. We don't know how this accumulates in the system. We don't know what it does. Not to mention, just a few weeks ago, there was a, this was back, I looked it up just the other day, PBS NewsHour, October 10th, 2018. If you go back and look at that day, if you search that on YouTube, it will pop up as the PBS show. If you skip ahead to like 45 or 46 minutes, they do an entire segment on organophosphates and how they're poisoning basically the citrus crops in Southern California. And the guy that's promoting them says at his own house, he at the very end of the show, he says, well, you know, we can't feed the country based on organic or whatever he's spouting off there. But then he says, but, you know, at my house, I grow all organic stuff. Okay. I mean, and he's talking about how more people prefer organics, but they can't do that.
Well, and every day we find out more and more about the toxicity of, you know, additives in foods and, you know, the different pesticides and
right. What
is being applied on
our
foods.
There's thousands on the market. We're eating at least 5 to 10 pounds of these things a year.
A year. That's
a year.
Crazy if you think about it. Like 5 pounds of additives a year on average. That's what most Americans consume.
Right. So switching gears and talking about how our food is grown and raised. If you're eating conventionally grown, conventionally raised foods, you are consuming massive amounts of insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, pick a side, it's bad, right? These are not chemicals that the human body knows what to do with. We test for these things, and we see levels in people that are just astronomical, and they're wondering why they feel bad. They're poisoning themselves, and they didn't even know it, right? I mean, this stuff, the soil depletion that we have going on is just insane. The poison, all this stuff runs off and gets in our water supply. And then where does the rain come from? It comes from the groundwater, and our groundwater is poisoned by all these chemicals. So I mean, all of this stuff is just a problem. And then the whole food system is a contributor to climate change. What we're doing is creating a negative impact on our climate, right? And I'm not even getting into all the, you know, the caged animal feed operations where they, you know, are just mistreating animals. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about that much more than just mentioning, hey, we know it exists and it's a problem. And growing 4,000 chickens in one little shed is not necessarily healthy for the chicken, right? So we have a choice. You get to vote with your wallet. You get to choose, right? I don't know any better way than to just stop buying this stuff, right? I mean, we don't need to be eating 5-10 pounds of additives a year. We don't need to be eating 130-plus pounds of refined flour. We don't need to be eating 150 pounds of sugar. 130 and 150 pounds of flour and sugar. I mean, that's 280 pounds. I mean, that's That's a massive amount. That's almost a pound a day that we're consuming. And people like me aren't consuming hardly any of that, right? It's just insane what we're doing. And we wonder why we're chronically sick, right? We have the soybean oil that's out there that we don't even, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, refined, genetically modified soybean oil didn't even exist, right? Our genetic makeup, we can't change with how fast our food supply is changing. We've had more change in our food supply over the last 50 years than we did in the previous 10,000 years combined, right? We're not made to eat like
right.
this.
Well, and you don't need an advanced science degree to know that our bodies didn't evolve on this stuff.
No.
So, I mean, there is no way that we can test it because it didn't exist before. So there isn't any research that shows long term that this stuff is okay for us to consume.
Right. And we feed our kids all this crap.
Yes.
We feed our kids chips and soda and cookies and candies and cakes. And then we're sitting here screaming at the teachers saying, why is the United States 38th in math in the world? And why are we 24th in reading in the world? Well, maybe it has to do with the fact that as parents, we've kind of stunk it up a little bit on what we're feeding our kids. We're taking the easy way out.
But that's, and that's really why we're on here, is to try to educate people about what is good, because I think people are going to the store and they're looking and they're saying, oh, well, it's all natural, so it's good to feed my kid. Or we'll say part of a nutritious diet or whatever else it labels it on the package. And so parents think, okay, well, then it's good for my kid.
Right.
I mean, we recently have there's a commercial on TV about Little Muffins, some sort of Little Muffins, and how it's like part of a nutritious snack. And I'm just like, no, like that is at very best a dessert.
It's sad when the most nutritious thing on the snack is the plastic package that it's wrapped in.
I mean,
because you're not
going to
eat that.
And it's like, smart moms know to give them their kids what, little muffins in a package that's probably good for 30 years? I mean, we've got to be kind of smart about this. I mean, because it's crazy when you think about it. But I mean, that's how they're promoting it. And clearly people are thinking that it's okay because it's out there and it's constantly being sold. So I don't really understand,
The commercial shows everyone is happy and smiling,
right,
and it must be enjoying it, so it has to be good.
And we keep hearing things, too, about, we've talked numerous times on here about, various mental illnesses, like in depression and anxiety and all of these, the numbers are skyrocketing. And, a lot of I watched something just the other day about the skyrocketing rates of depression on college campuses. And I'm thinking, what are those kids eating?
Right.
I mean, we've talked before, there are, sometimes some underlying, chemical imbalances, but a lot of times we can fix that with diet.
Really, to me, I think it's more underlying emotional imbalances.
Right. No, right. Yeah.
Not necessarily chemicals.
Right.
But the chemical imbalance is there. If the chemical imbalance is there, you make all these chemicals in your gut, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise, newsflash, you make this stuff in your gut. And so your gut's out of balance, of course you're going to have your brain's not going to be able to function the way it's supposed to.
And not to mention all of the things about kids, who have ADD, ADHD, or, have anger issues, trouble regulating emotions, and all of these things. And I'm thinking, of course
they do. They're addicted to sugar and refined flour.
You take
cocaine away from a coke addict, and they're going to get angry too.
Right, exactly.
Right? I mean, we say it's a terrible thing if someone's on drugs, but yet we're just force feeding or pouring drugs down our kids' necks when we start getting into the actual science of what sugar does to the human brain.
Right. And when we actually, get it down to the bare minimum of what you need to be doing, the kids are where they really suffer. That's where we really see this, because they don't have the choice, right? I mean, and I think the beauty of all of this is that there is a choice. As adults, we get to make the choice. And I know a lot of people get frustrated by that, but, you have your choice may have gotten you there, but your choices can also get you out.
Right, exactly. And I know that we harped on that, but it's obviously getting better because we're seeing more healthy choices available in grocery stores. I see it because I'm the one that does the shopping in our family. And so I see it. I see the change in the baby food. I see that we're moving in the right direction, but we could move faster if we just make better choices as a whole country, as not just the small pocket of people that are just slowly growing. But anyway, That's all the time we've got for today. I hope you enjoyed the show and understand a little more about quantity and quality and all this, you know, junk that's out there. But if you want more information, please feel free to visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Follow us on all our social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram. If you have any questions, email us, call us, 314-293-8123. We're happy to get to, you know, answer anything that you've got. We'll get back to you. If you have show ideas, please let us know. So that's about all the time we have for today. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.